Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
This better not be just... Oh, yeah. Shifty Shell Shock, baby. Coming in hot. Is this actually in our beds? Oh, yeah. Someone... So, Ted Johnson...
Hardy
just
put this in.
Hardy loves Shifty Shell Shock. Is he still... That's a borderline if he's still alive.
I don't know.
He is alive?
Okay.
Oh, you looked it up. All right. We've learned that Ted Johnson... as a fantasy of saving the day, of beating people up. 617-779-0985.
People that deserve it.
Right. Not, he doesn't want to do a falling down where he just goes around.
No,
randomly.
No.
Yeah, this is... Definitely not. He saves the day like a damsel in distress. He comes in and saves her. Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, so Ted, huge fan, by the way.
Thanks, man.
So you're talking about the whole fantasy thing about, you know, damsel in distress. When I was like, I played college ball at a small school in Kansas, big guy, offensive lineman, and we had a Halloween party one year. And this guy, funny enough, was actually like assaulting a woman at the party. And everyone just kind of standing around not knowing what to do. So I got involved and got a little tussle. And next thing you know, I picked the guy up, put him to a table,
yes,
and enjoyed, you know, enjoyed it.
Yes.
The best part about it was, like, he gets up, he's all staggering, and he's talking about, you know, he's going to catch her when, you know, none of us are around.
Yeah.
And I guess she decided to get involved, and she hit this dude so hard, they ended up shattering his eye socket.
Ugh. Awesome. That guy's got a lot of balls on him. Hey, I'm going to assault you later when no one else is around. That's a criminal charge right there, my friend.
Assaulting a woman at a party with everybody around, he got what he deserved in the end.
Are you kidding me?
He got what he deserved. Way
to go, of course.
That's a great kind of incident or scenario that I'm looking for, Fred. I'm looking for something like that to happen to me.
You want
to
put a guy through a table is what you want.
A guy that deserves it.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
I want to slam a guy into a table that deserves that.
So yes. If you're going to a function where you're going to be drinking Ted Johnson, try to avoid that situation.
Yes.
Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So, Ted, I'm in a little bit of a bind until I heard your story today. I'm a groomsman to a huge Pats fan. Unfortunately, you know, for someone who's a huge Pats fan, his wedding's in April, so you really can't do too many Patriots-themed things. So I'm thinking we kill two birds with one stone. We recreate the scenario at the movie theater. All of us groomsmen crowd around, and you get to kick all of our asses. How does that sound?
That would love sounds it. Amazing. Right there.
For $10,000. Yeah. For $10,000, he's available.
Yes. Go to my Twitter, and my publicist email is on there. And reach out to her, and we'll get a deal done. I'll come to that wedding in April. I'm looking forward to it.
All of a sudden, it's going to be all these masochists, like, calling you up. It's like Ted Johnson beat you up.
I like that, a reenactment of that theater incident back in Boulder, Colorado. I
got
love
a
it,
wistful
man.
Look on your face there, bud.
I've had the best day already working with you guys. This has really got me excited today, man. I don't know
and
what
it's
it
only
is.
Monday.
I know. We still got two more days after this. Good stuff.
All right, John, this has turned into its own thing. John, hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Once again, you've turned my day right around, and I love it. Thank you so much. Hey, my college center, we're at a party at the football house, and a couple of guys want to come in. They start being a little unruly towards the girls. We ask them to leave, and my buddy says, it's time for you guys to go. Three of them step outside. They go, oh, you guys are tough in there. What about out here?
Yeah.
So we go outside. My center, Brian, looks at me. He goes, if you get involved in this, I'm going to beat your ass. So he goes and he fights all three guys by himself, rips his shirt, and then comes back in and shuts the door and says, that's how it's done. And I've been in awe of the man ever since.
See, that's, there you go. There's something that, like, that guy to him is a god. Like, from now on until eternity. That he was able to take out three guys that deserve to be taken out.
How many guys do you think you could handle by yourself? You were ready to go on five. How many more could we tack on here to make it worth your while?
There were like five frat guys that I think I could handle. I think I could handle up to 3 to 5 frat guys.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah. 3 to 5. You know, now you're talking about steel mill workers. Yeah. I maybe 2. But
we have Ty Anderson sitting next to you. How many of those guys?
You know, Ty's pound for pound. I wouldn't mess with Ty. Ty's a guy I would try and form an alliance
with. I just think it's great. Ty Anderson is about 120 sitting next to Ted Johnson.
You're talking about 155 now. Come
Sorry.
On now.
he's putting on mass. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Thor, why don't you just punch the center of the floor and watch them all tumble down?
I should have. I wasn't thinking.
All right. So Ty Anderson's
here. I love that
here.
Name, Thor. Thank you.
Ty Anderson's here. We'll talk
up,
to
Ty?
Him.
What's going on?
If you have any other fantasies about destroying someone, you can call in about that or the Bruins. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
The Bruins. The NHL. This is the show that's all hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beer. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Get the app. Get The Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download The Sports Hub app today.
Marchand fires, Murray the save, rebound, punch free, Krejci shoots, they score! David Krejci with Matt Murray down and out, swimming around, was able to snap it in from the bottom of the left wing circle. Bruins on the board, trailing 2-1.
98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson covers the Bruins right here at 98.5, The Sports Hub. Season's over, correct?
Yeah, it's done. it's absolutely done.
Katie bar the door, man. No hope.
Well, I would say this. Before we move on to the Bruins, there's a member of my family that Ted Johnson would probably absolutely love. I'm not going to name who this is directly, but they, according to the urban legend of my family, this man was a bartender. At the end of the night, someone came in to try to rob the bar. He pulled out a weapon from behind the bar, locked the door, and said, okay, let's have some fun.
Badass.
Badass.
It was Gary Cherone, right?
Badass. I don't believe it was him. No. Other family. I've yet to confirm or deny this happened, but I've heard from multiple people in the family this actually happened.
So did he shoot him?
No, he had like a bat, I think.
Oh, he had a bat.
Nice.
I think it was a bat. Yeah.
So he beat him with a bat?
Yeah. From what I understand, yes. There was some trouble there.
Okay. Because I've been at a bar before, and the bartender's name, you guys aren't going to know it. Maybe Dan would, or Mike. The bartender's name was Electric Larry, and Electric Larry probably was 5'11", 110 pounds of DUI, and he rode a like bike to work. He worked at a bar right across from the old station, and so that's not there anymore. So I was there one night with some guys from the show, and this is the same bar where people would come up to me and say, would you mind taking care of the bar? I got to go out and get drugs. So, and by the way, I said, what? Okay. You want me to take money from people? And so there was a time where these guys came in. There was like 4 guys, and they were with girls that were obviously underage, like really underage. So Electric Larry was like, got to get these girls out of here. Then they came back, like, and there was more of them. And they were not happy, and they were trying to get into the bar. And I said to Electric Larry, I'm like, do you have a gun? And he's like, no, why? With that moment, I realized, had these people wanted to, they could have just gone in the bar and destroyed everybody.
Taken anything they wanted.
Yeah. Just... I mean, it was like, you know, 6 dudes, and they could have come in and done whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And there's Electric Larry with no weapon, like, just by himself, like, don't worry about it.
See, that's where we would need a Ted Johnson.
I would love to have been there to help you out in that point. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I would put you at the I would put you in front of the door, and I would just have you like an assembly line, like knock him around.
Would have loved to have been there to have done that, Fred. If you're talking about a weapon under a bar, one of my favorite things to talk about is what's your favorite weapon? Like if someone is to break in, or if you're working at a bar and you need to give me the wooden like bat of like for a 12-year-old.
Like what they give, okay.
Like so, that would be the perfect weapon. Like, so, you know, the bat that your 12-year-old would use, not the aluminum, give me a wooden bat.
Okay.
And then big, let's
smaller
go.
Sweet spot, but it packs a bigger punch.
Yep. 9-iron, maybe like a pitching wedge would be a good one too.
My concern with that is it would snap.
That's true.
Yeah, you can't go golf club on him.
Okay.
You
would have I'm just taking one shot, just across the face.
The details of all of this is just remarkable. Yeah. You spent a lot of time out of your day thinking about this.
This is a fantasy it's a reoccurring fantasy that it just comes up in my brain, and I just
all right.
I just can't help but
you're gonna have to
hope that maybe this happens.
All right. So okay. So Dan O'Brien has brought up to me your road rage.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh,
all right. Ted Johnson is here.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it because he's doing the majority of the talking, and it's far more interesting than anything I would say.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, road rage.
Yes.
Okay. So
it's a great example of where I've been able to flex my muscles regarding this a little bit. I almost welcome road rage. I almost, if somebody wants to challenge me on the road, I'm kind of like, let's go a little bit. I'll give you a recent story that happened not that long ago, right before I moved back to Boston. I was living in Houston. It worked out perfectly because I looked at the end of the day like kind of like a badass. And so there was a spot that was open in this parking garage, and I had a tight turn to pull in. I was turning right into this space. But there was a guy in the space to the right of it that was trying. It was just starting to back out, and his lights were in reverse as I'm starting to pull in, and I had to kind of do like a 3-point turn so I couldn't get in on the first time. And I back up, do it again, and I finally get. And I see him in his car, and he's just hitting his steering wheel. He's freaking out, and honking his horn, and he's looking over at me, and I'm like, this is perfect. Perfect, because I've always wanted to just kind of get out of the car and be like, you sure you still want to be mad here? I get out of the car, and he's kind of, now he's backed out, and he looks at me, and I'm just like, this is, and I start walking, and I'm smiling. I start walking up to the car, and he hightails it out of there so fast. And these two just cute little, these girls, these two young women, we watched the whole thing. I go, that was so fun. And they were just loving it, eating it. I was like, yeah, that felt good. Nothing happened. All you got to do is get out of the car.
Right.
It's just got to see, you know, okay, this guy's a big guy. And he took off. And it was just a huge satisfaction in that moment for me. And I, again, Parcells, that's why you lift all them weights. So in moments like that, you know, you're going to win the day.
So it's motivational.
Very motivational.
Thank
yes.
you to Bill Parcells for that. Larry, go ahead.
Hey, big fan, Ted. I love your choice of weapon, but I think I have one better. Have you ever gotten those miniature wooden bats from, like, the Red Sox games?
That's kind of what I'm talking about, bud. I mean, like, I don't know how many ounces they are. I mean, they're, like, what, like 3 feet long, 4 feet long, kind of?
Oh, it's perfect. You can move in tight range, and you keep it right in the back of your car, and it's an easy grab.
Yeah, good call. Good call. I got to go. When they're giving those out, I got to make sure I go to the Red Sox game when they're giving those out, man. Perfect weapon.
Well, there you go. Everything around you, like MacGyver, everything around you could be a weapon.
I have a terrible weapon in my car. I have a hockey stick. That's not going to do anything.
No.
That's saw it off. Not Casey Jones. I can't do anything with that.
No, I got, we got from Ken Griffey Sr. These bats like about like combating some disease, and I just was too lazy to take it out of my car. But the thing had to weigh 5 pounds. What am I going to do with that thing? There's nothing I can do with it. I'd be like, trying to hit people with it.
Like the slowest swing ever.
Yeah, it would be like the most embarrassing thing. I'd have the baseball bat.
It's only 5 pounds, Freddie.
But it's long. It's like a long
like
5 pounds.
Long 5 pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, no. I obviously could swing it, but if as a weapon,
yeah.
You pick it up and you're like, all right, here it comes.
It's still coming.
It's still coming.
Just stay there for a second.
Yeah. It's not something you could get around with on a fastball with. I mean, it's something that, hang on. It's a two-hand job. You stay right there, sir. You'd have like 5 days to duck. Yeah. So I just left it in my car, and then I realized, what the hell am I doing? I can't lift this thing. All right. Ty Anderson is...
What's up, Ty?
What's going on?
He's no stranger to the fisticuffs. He's no stranger to weapons.
Dropping the gloves.
That's right. He's a Gracie disciple. He knows all about that kind of stuff. All right, so are you concerned right now with injury, or does everything seem to be happening at the right time, and they're going to get fresh right before the playoffs?
Well, I'm concerned in the sense that I don't want to see Lee Stempniak playing any more games for this team.
Yeah.
Like that's concerning to me. Is that if they lose another player there, I think right now you're already kind of testing it. You know, you have Danton Heinen on the first line; he's doing pretty well there, but. You look beyond that. Last night, your second line is Solarik and Stempniak around Krejci, and that line stinks. It's not a good line, and
right.
Stempniak's not an NHL player, and Solarik is one of these guys now that he makes one mistake and he's benched for the rest of the game. So that's frustrating because you look at that and you say, well, he can't, you know, he makes one mistake and he's gone. So I don't love that. I don't love this combination right now. DeBrusque, he's in a walking boot. They don't think he's going to be out long, but... He's still in a walking boot, so how long is that really going to take? We don't really know yet. So I'm concerned if they lose another player. But right now, they should be fine to handle this next stretch here, so long as Matt Grzelcyk isn't out for, I don't know, let's say a month.
And Kevin Miller is the worst out of all of this, right? Or the one we don't know about the most.
Yeah, that's week to week. It's vague. No one can really pinpoint when and where it happens.
It's so funny because Cassidy is... compared to other hockey coaches, like, incredibly upfront about injury. And this Kevin Miller thing, no one knows about.
All of a sudden, something popped on an MRI that they hadn't seen before, and that set him back. But no one knows what the problem was, what the MRI showed.
Yeah, but Cassidy will, like, show MRIs, and he'll give timelines. I mean, we've heard it. He did it on the show. He's like, DeBrusque is fine. Don't worry about it. It's his foot. I mean, he said when it happened, it was his foot. And so it is concerning when they don't say anything.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about Kevin Miller, right? I mean, this is a guy who's battled a lot of injuries throughout his career here. You've seen him play through a lot. So I wonder, you know, if and when he's back. I mean, that's a big loss for this team. If he's not back for the playoffs, I really hate that because he logged some hard minutes. You go back to that Ottawa series in 2017, he was playing almost 30 minutes a night. And I know they were injured in that series, but... You know, it's one. You look at it, you say, I would love to have a healthy defense for maybe the first time ever. You know, in terms of Cassie's tenure as the head coach here, they've missed Carlo 2 years in a row. Last year, they lost Torrey Krug in the Tampa series. I would love to see what this team could do with all six of their best defensemen in action because we've seen that this year, they're a good defensive team. They really limit the other teams, their chances to create offense against them. So I'd like to see all those guys available because I don't, again... John Moore, he's a good seventh defenseman, but he's not a good guy to have in your rotation playing 18, 20 minutes a night, in my opinion.
Do you even consider Krug a defenseman anymore, basically?
I mean, I do. I think he has a role, right? I mean, it's...
I'm not saying he's not important to the team. I'm just asking if the way Cassidy uses him, if you...
No, it's primarily offensive zone starts, and you know, you play with the Bergeron line to try to mask your defensive inefficiencies. I think they've done a good job of that, and having Carlo there with him really helps his game, in my opinion. You know, if Carlo's not there and you put, let's say, John Moore, Torrey Krug, I kind of hate what you have going on at that point because that pairing could really expose Torrey Krug's weaknesses. Listen, we know his weaknesses. He's 5'9", he's a defenseman, and he's not necessarily great behind the goal line, if you will. So I watch him and I say, if they manage him correctly, which they haven't been able to in past playoffs, in my opinion, then he should really be an effective player. But you need to be healthy for that to work. They can't lose Bergeron. They can't lose another defenseman. You know, again, Grzelcyk went down last night, and Kevin Miller is out week to week now. You can't lose another defenseman because right now Steven Kampfer is playing in your lineup on Tuesday night. He hasn't played since before Christmas. You really can't lose another guy on that back end because now you're reaching to Providence for guys that might not be ready for this kind of, you know, this pace, this playoff-like push and atmosphere you would get this time of year.
Yeah, and you're taking guys off the street and putting them on the second line, which, like you said, Stempniak is...
I'm just done with it. Like, I saw him last night. I mean, it took, a minute and a half, and you're down 1-0, and it's a turnover by Stempniak.
Horrible turnover.
And it's like, dude, you are here because you don't make those turnovers. That's, like, one of the reasons why you're in this lineup right now is because it's a lot of young players, and Cassie says, I need a guy I can trust. I need a guy who's going to manage the puck well and not make mistakes. And a minute and a half into your second game, you're making a glaring mistake on the road against the Penguins, a team that you know that can score. You know, like, there's no tomorrow. And the second leg of a back-to-back, you need that veteran know-how. If he's going to play and he's not going to score or he's not going to generate shots on goal, you need to be able to trust him.
Just don't screw it up. You don't have to go out there and maybe be productive. Just don't be the guy that gives up, you know,
exactly.
Scores.
And when you're talking to a minute and 40 into the game and they score a goal and you're the first player they pan on, that tells you just screwed up right there. So, Stempniak, I don't want to see him in the lineup on Tuesday night. I really don't. I think if you're going to play a kid 9 minutes a night, give it to one of the Providence kids that you know will come in and provide some energy, some youth, some speed. Just do something, because Stempniak's doing nothing right now, and it's killing them.
All right, so we will be back, and here are the headlines.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can follow us on Twitch to watch the show. You can go to twitch.tv and search 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can get the Twitch app on your smartphone and search 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ted Johnson in for Rich. Ty Anderson is in as well. Ted, you got anything? I heard you guys talking off the air.
Yeah. I was just you know, talking, chopping up with Ty about the Bruins, and I'm learning a lot over here. I asked the question he's been asked a million times, and I asked it off the air, and I just think it's worth bringing up again. Is the you know, it's kind of maybe what happens with the lines when Pastrnak comes back. I mean, you have these guys playing really good. Heinen's playing so good with that top line, and we were just talking about how, you know, I mean, you could probably maybe put any Jamoke up there, and then they're going to excel playing with Bergeron and Marchand. But, you know, just the cause and effect of Pastrnak coming back, hopefully, I don't know, in a week or two, maybe on a limited basis. Like, what's the trickle-down effect going to be when Pastrnak comes back?
So I would say that I would imagine that he goes back with Bergeron and Marchand. I really would, because I look at that line, and they're so effective, and they're so good, and you look at the playoffs, right? It's almost a lock that they're going to play Toronto in the first round. And you go back last year and you watch that series, they dominated Toronto. They had, I think, a combined 26 points in that first round series. Pastrnak alone, I think, had, I want to say, 13 in seven games. So that's a combination that clearly works for them. The big X factor there, in my opinion, is Marcus Johansson, because they acquired this player and they wanted to put him on their second line or maybe their third line. It all depended on, you know, it was dependent on who's healthy, who's in the lineup. But I think, you know, when you see Johansson, he played well with DeBrusque and with Krejci, in my opinion. So I think that line would be a solid second line. So maybe now you're not as hell-bent on saying, okay, now we have to move Pastrnak to the second line with Krejci to have balance, if you will. I think you have balance with Johansson there on that second line. So I think Pastrnak goes back to the top line.
Okay, the run the Bruins have been on the last 2 months has been unprecedented. It's been, 50 years since they've had a point streak this long, something along those lines. The biggest question is, and maybe I'm just trying to shake off the negativeness that Jones put on us last weekend or last week, is this team performing above its own head? Are they greater than the sum of their parts, or does this team legitimately have a chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals or Stanley Cup Finals the way they are playing right now?
If they continue to play like this, yes. There's still one thing I want to see from this team, though. I want to see them go into Tampa Bay on the road and win, because that would truly say to me, okay, this team can win. They can win any building against anybody. Like you've seen them now. They beat up the Sharks twice in this month. I think the Sharks are one of the best teams in the NHL. Mm-hmm. They beat Tampa Bay. They've beat Vegas. I think they have the goods to go on a deep run here, but it all depends on their health and getting some more confidence here before the end of the season.
2 weeks from today is the game at Tampa.
Yes, and I think that that's a huge game for them. Because Tampa's here, I think, on the final game of the regular season.
That's right, baby. That's I got right. 8 tickets.
Attaboy. Asked enough people. It worked out for you.
That's the danger. That's the danger of not paying attention to anyone in your family. And they're like, what are you going to do?
With Bruins tickets later?
What are you going to do for your... let's take him to a Bruins game. Sure. Yeah, he's going to bring 4 friends. Yeah, okay. And then... like 2 days later, she reminds me, and I go, oh, God.
And then he made the call. Fred was actively searching, like a torpedo looking for a submarine.
Well, I'm not looking for him for free.
I know, I didn't say you were.
More than happy to pay.
Getting 8 together for the shirt off your back day is pretty tough to get, and you did it. You asked
I also asked if I could get like 5 shirts off people's backs.
I see.
Because it's a birthday party.
Right.
You're going to get Lee Stepniak's jersey.
Good for you.
Yes.
And you're going to say, why?
Because it's going to get passed around the crowd. People are going to get it, and they're just going to throw it behind them like a beach ball. Perhaps. All right. So what's the question here? I was being a silly goose.
We were just talking about what is really the ceiling for this Bruins team. Are they on one of those unprecedented runs where all of them are playing over their heads? Or are they really talented enough to make a deep
run? So you think going into Tampa Bay is the key?
I think if they can win Tampa, that's the key. I really do because... listen, nothing says that Tampa Bay is going to win the Stanley Cup. You look at their record and you say, wow, that's a great team. I've seen this before, though.
It happens all the time.
Precedence trophies aren't locks to win Stanley Cups.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly. You're talking about a Tampa team that kind of has history of choking. They beat you in 5 games last year, yes, but this Tampa team, the fans down there are a little worried about this team never truly winning a Stanley Cup, never getting to where they should be. So, I don't know. I think if you're healthy, you can go down there. And if you steal a game in Tampa, you've been borderline unbeatable at home. Tampa can't win in this building. They did it last year in the playoffs, yes. But historically, they've struggled here. And I look at that lineup, and I look at this roster. They're finding ways to win, like, really close games, really tight-checking games. Winning in a variety of ways that I think helps you in April and May. And I don't know if they had that last year.
If it's a foregone conclusion that maybe the Bruins are going to be facing Toronto in the first round, like, is that kind of, can you manage guys' minutes? I mean, if health has been a concern, I think the last few years for this Bruins team going into the playoffs, and it looks like it is, again, going to be a concern with some guys, key guys missing. Is there a way to kind of just manage guys' minutes and bring this thing in home or down the stretch where you got a healthy group of guys as healthy as you can get going into the playoffs?
I mean, that's the big question, right? I think the idea that I have that I know it's been brought up before, but Chara, right? He's 41 years old. He's still your number one defenseman. You have some back-to-backs coming up. Can you sit him on the second leg of those back-to-backs?
But he blames resting at the end of the season for not being at his best during the playoffs.
Yeah, so that's the problem there.
And if you're Cassidy, can you tell him no?
And Cassidy has said to me, he goes, that would be a tough discussion. If I had to sit here and say to Chara, you're not playing tonight, he goes, that would be a really tough discussion to have with that player. And
another thing is Cassidy told us that Pastrnak, if he was healthy, and you know how these things change and they can change in game. Pastrnak, if he was healthy, would play with the second line. If they're concerned a little bit about the hand still, he would play on the first line, is what his thinking was. At that moment, but I mean, what do I know?
I just think that when you have a line that is as good as that line is and has been for 2 years now, the second you find yourself in trouble, and we know that Cassie tinkers with the lines like there's no tomorrow, he's going to move him back up there. Look at last night. Last night, he moved lines all around, and the game before that, too. I was looking out there these last 2 nights, and I go, wait a minute, what is that combination? Like, he was absolutely juggling everybody.
What do you think about the plans that Cassidy has for the goaltender split? When we had him on, it was 10 for Rask and 7 for Halak. And Fred's point at the time was, well, if you're battling for home ice, which is pretty important against a team like Toronto, you want to play Rask as much as possible. Then I see, reading the Toronto papers over the weekend, that Babcock's going to split Freddie Anderson and Garrett Sparks pretty much evenly over their last, whatever it is, 16, 17 games. So home ice is important to them too, but they're splitting things up. How would you play this?
I would try to give Tuukka as much rest as humanly possible because he's not built to play 60 games. He's not going to this year. He's not even close this year. But I think if you can manage his minutes the right way, that's going to make the biggest difference. Like Ted was talking about managing minutes, managing workload. Tuukka is the big guy to manage that right there. He's 6'3". And
of
he's
all the guys, that's the one you should be worried about.
That's the one, because I think that when he is rested and ready to go, he is what he's worth, if that makes sense. Everyone questions, you know, what is he worth? What is he this? You know, in 2017, he played through a torn groin in the playoffs, and he wasn't he wasn't great, groin. but I mean, he wasn't great, but he was solid. And last year, he wasn't great in the Toronto series, but I thought he kept in the Tampa Bay series. So if you can manage him and keep him healthy, keep him upright, that can make a difference. I think, you know, look at 2013, the 1 year that he took you to the Stanley Cup Finals, lockout shortened season. Not as much tread on the tires there. He was ready to go for all four rounds. So get him as, you know, as close to like 45 games if you can. I think that even split, that'll be perfect.
All right. Ty Anderson, he of the expert on the Boston Bruins. He's out there sometimes at the trade deadline working the phones while at this very station.
That was fun, right? And then, like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, hey, well, they might do something today. And then, like, I got out of here and I got a call. I was like, yeah, they're not going to do anything today. Right. Oh, awesome.
That Mark Stone would have been a little difficult, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Would have been fun, though, right?
But they couldn't have gotten him.
No.
Well, they could have. They would have had to empty everything out to get him.
No, I don't think they had a prospect that compared to what Vegas offered, because everyone says McAvoy. Well, yeah, that's great, but McAvoy has to get paid this summer.
Yeah,
the Ottawa Senators don't want to pay anybody. That's their MO is they don't want to pay anybody. That's right. Why everyone leaves. That's why they traded Ryan DeZingle. Like, Ryan DeZingle's going to break your bank, so you trade him? That's just an odd. Like, that's a terrible situation. I watched that team on Saturday night. That is the worst NHL team I've ever watched in my entire life.
Really?
They at one point, like, they had two players on their team collide with one another, unpressured. The puck wasn't even near them, and they just collided, and they both fell down. And then I said, wow, that's weird. And then 2 minutes later, their defenseman attempted an outlet pass to a player who had lost his stick for about 10 seconds. And I said, wow, this is a team.
Well, just leave it to their owner to fix things, because he's great.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Ty Anderson, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Good to see you, Ty.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to show you a unique way that a gentleman from the NFL retired and gave up $3 million. We'll be right back. Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Yes, Wallach. What did you miss?
I didn't miss anything. I was waiting for my set. This is a Dan O'Brien miss. I miss a lot, but this one was Dan's. That's how I see it anyway. So it's, this hour of Toucher and Rich brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Winners here. Get your car ready at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com to save 15%.
All right. So this guy from the Cowboys, David Irving, was suspended indefinitely by the NFL for violating the drug policy. I guess he's...
multiple times.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
And he released this video on Instagram announcing he would be retiring.
The suspension and all this other nonsense. I'm out of there. I'm not doing this shit anymore. You know, it's a lot of reasons why... you know, I come to this decision, but I mean, y'all know how it is, man. It's a lot of f***ed up shit. It's a lot of f***ed up with the NFL, man.
Whoopsies.
As you all know, I voiced my opinion about this medicine right here. And I mean, we got this opioid thing going on, and I prescribed all that bullshit. And, you know, I just think it's bullshit that, you know, we got to deal with that policy. Plants over pills.
So I think you might have talked about this before.
Plants over pills.
That's right. You might have talked about this before, but when you played, how much did you guys talk about this last time Ted was in?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it was more around the concussion stuff.
Yeah. We won't get into this. I heard that was great, but we won't do that again. Yeah. When you played, and I don't even know if things have changed, like how easy was it to get like opiates in the locker room?
You know, it was one of those deals where you couldn't, if you wanted a painkiller, you could get it, but it wasn't like you could get like a handful.
Okay.
Or like a prescription.
Okay.
I mean, if you needed something here and there, it was available, and you had to, you know, ask for it, and there's probably a record of it, but it wasn't like, I think what I've heard back in the day, Fred, was that it was kind of one of those deals in the 70s and 80s, and maybe even in the early 90s. And it varies from team to team as far as what their kind of each trainer kind of how it looks at it, whether you could go and get multiple pills. That wasn't the case with New England, at least that wasn't my experience. But guys got access to pills in other ways, right?
Okay.
So there was times when you could come, you'd be on the plane and you'd have a guy, obviously I won't say who, that you could just go by the seat on the flight and be like, can I get a few? Boom, here you go. And you were good to go. But it's nothing like what it used to be.
Okay.
It used to be a lot more of a problem back in the NFL.
You just watch Northwest 40.
Oh, yeah. that's a great example of kind of what life was like in the NFL, man. Just take a pill, but guys will find other means for pain management. So if they can't go through their doctors and their trainers, then they'll find other means to get the pills that they need to help with the pain.
Okay, because you're expected to play through a lot of pain. How necessary is it to mitigate that? In by taking something.
Yeah, I think it's for a lot of guys. It's I don't know if it's a daily issue, but it can be an issue. It's one of those things where guys are dealing with. There's a lot of guys that have chronic pain, or whatever that they have to. They need something to kind of help them get through it. I would say, and people always ask me, how many guys do you think smoke pot in the NFL? I would say, if I had to guess. I didn't go around taking a poll, and it wasn't like something that was openly discussed.
Right.
But my feeling is that there's probably anywhere from, I would say, 60 to 70% of the guys on the NFL teams that will use pot as a medical way of healing their injuries.
Okay, which makes sense. It's not addictive in everything else. I mean, it's five times better to take that to smoke weed than it is to take an opioid. Why do you think the NFL is so hesitant? I mean, guys are retiring because they don't want to stop smoking weed.
It's funny. It's I'll say that the NFL is, and people come at me on Twitter. I said this. The NFL is so image conscious. Oh, well, they let this guy in and that guy in that beats his wife, and it's like, all right, well, those are fair points, but I mean, when it comes to drugs. Illegal drugs, even though that marijuana is now being, is allowed in a few states now, it's still an illegal drug in a lot of states. The NFL is not going to be the first big sports entity and sports league to legalize it, right? They don't want to be the team, they don't want to be the league that says it's okay to smoke pot. And they need to. I mean, they really do need to because the opioids are killers, man.
Well, I mean, there's an opioid crisis right now.
Huge.
And what's interesting to me is I agree with you.
This thing was wearing off too, Fred. Let's go. Let's be enlightened, NFL. Let's get with it.
But wouldn't it be better for you in terms of publicity, say you ripped the Band-Aid off and we're allowed, then you don't have to deal with guys getting suspended for it.
But they're not.
The story goes away.
But they're not forward-thinking. The NFL's not forward-thinking. They're very reactionary. They're never like trendsetters. They're never ahead of the curve. They're always the one that's the late getting to the party. And so they're never going to be the one that's going to do it first. They got to, they got to kind of wait and see. And it's a damn shame, man. It really is. I hate that the NFL has these kind of restrictions on something that clearly is a better alternative than opioids, yet the punishment is so, I think, out of whack. I mean, the fact that this guy has a point. This guy has a point. I mean, he's been busted for it for a few times, and he's tired of it. You can say, well, the guy's an idiot. And the guy's an idiot because he knows the rules.
Right, and he's throwing away $3 million.
I will say this. I give him a lot of credit. It's stories like this that maybe keeps this discussion going and moving forward. So eventually they will change their opinions on this and make pot legal.
All right, let's go to the headlines. We can keep this discussion going.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.